I got a picture the other day on my phone of my granddaughter, and she was not sitting on the lap of old Santa Claus. She was sitting down on the step in front of Santa Claus. So I said to her when I saw her, I said, I see you weren't sitting on the lap of Santa Claus. She said, no. And she said, I sat on the step out in front. I didn't have to wear a mask. And evidently she had to wear a mask if she sat on the lap of old Santa Claus. So I said, was that the real Santa Claus? She said, no, Grandpa. It was just a man. And listen, all these legends that we have replaced the gospel story of the birth of our Lord has belittled everything. The devil has been trying to take over for 2,000 years. And it seems that if we turn on the news, we hear that he's doing it, doing a great job of it in our lifetime. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he said, I didn't think I'd ever live to biblical prophetic times when history is changing so fast. And I said, well, some of us have to live it. We have to live through it. We have to realize that Bible prophecy has to be fulfilled sometime. And it seems that it is being fulfilled in our time. Would you say an amen to that? Yeah. And, you know, people don't want to believe that. We talk about those kinds of things, and unsaved people have no idea what we're talking about because they haven't read the Bible and they don't know the God of the Bible. And even our children, we have forgotten that our children are not being taught spiritual things in the home and in the school, because at one time the school was a place of learning about spiritual things, and even in churches we're teaching them such a shallow gospel that they don't have to commit themselves to anything. And yet, God is still looking for people that love Him, are surrendered to Him, and communicate with Him every day of their lives. I love it because God keeps the door open. He hears, He's got His ear sounded to the earth, and He hears every whisper that we make. If we love Him and walk with Him, He listens to everything. And He answers every prayer. You say, well, He didn't answer a prayer for me. Yes, He did. Sometimes God says yes. And sometimes God says no. Tough love. One old preacher told me that at other times our requests are so ridiculous that God says, you gotta be kidding. Yeah, you gotta be kidding. You didn't ask me for that. And God is listening and God is present. And this is a time for us to rejoice. Have you noticed that the world has done everything they can do to remove Jesus from the scene? People will talk about God, but they don't want to talk about Jesus. And Jesus is the very image of God the Father and the person of God the Son. So he is as much God as God the Father and God the Son. It's hard to explain the Trinity, isn't it? It's hard to explain that God has revealed himself in three persons, but he has revealed himself in three persons. Now I want to read to you the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2. And if you have your Bible, you can follow along with me. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up out of Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto a city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And when it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to the other, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Father, would you give us a vivid look at what happened so many years ago in Bethlehem, when your son Jesus came as a baby to us, to reveal to us that you loved us so much that you would keep your word and show us miraculous things throughout history because of this baby that came in a manger, the picture of the fulfillment of the will of God, of you, Almighty God. Lord, show us that today, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So many years ago, in that manger, they came and saw that babe. And twice it says in this passage that that babe was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And God thought it important that we understand that His Son Jesus was going to be born in a world that had no room for Him. They got to Bethlehem, and there was no room, and so they went to the barn with the farm animals, which was prophesied in history, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes were burial clothes. They were the wrappings for burial when a person died. And when people traveled, they often took their burial clothes with them because they didn't know in that time whether Herod and Caesar and all the rest of what they would do. And so they were preparing themselves to be buried as they traveled. And when Jesus was born, she had burial clothes that she wrapped him in and laid him in a manger. Isn't that unique that this child that was born in the manger that day would be wrapped in his grave clothes? It taught a lesson like Jesus was born to die. He was born to die for you and I. The Christmas story is one thing, but it pans out to the Easter story about Him being crucified and put in a tomb and raising on the third day. That is the point of the gospel. And when we learn about that and when we trust that, God calls us a new creature, having old things passed away, and behold, He says, all things have become new. Now, in your note, in your bulletin, it says that we're going to talk about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Look around, folks. Look at all the peace we have all around us. You say, preacher, how do you explain that? Well, I'm going to attempt to do that this morning. I'm going to talk about this peace on earth that the angels talked about. Peace on earth. There is a peace in the world that the world knows not. There is a peace in the world that only people that are believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ have, because they understand that God is in control of everything. You know, when God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He put them in a garden and provided everything for them. And He said, you can eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the garden, God came in the evening and walked with Adam, and they communed together in peace. It was the end of the day, and they talked about, I suppose, what happened during the day. And yet one day, God came to walk with Adam, and Adam didn't show up. What was wrong? They had given the peace they knew with God in the garden to Satan. The old snake. The snake that came and tempted Eve to take of the fruit and eat of the fruit. And she gave also to her husband, and Adam ate of the fruit. And because God commanded Adam not to eat of the fruit, sin fell in the world. And they gave the peace they had with God over to Satan. And Satan has been trying to rule over that peace that men have with God for all of these years. Adam gave up the peace. He took upon the curse. And the earth has suffered under the curse of sin ever since. Think about it. Walking with God. We get to the end of the day and walk with God. My friends, because you know Jesus Christ, you can get to the end of the day and have your walk and talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Hello, are you there? Isn't that a wonderful thing? That you can walk and talk with Almighty God because you have been born again. You know, there are four births that the Bible talks about. One of them is, of course, natural birth. Adam knew his wife, and she gave birth to Cain and Abel, and that was a natural birth. And then there was a miracle birth when Abraham, 100 years old, and his wife, 90 years old, came together and had a miracle child because it was a fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham that he would give him a seed, and his seed would be like numbered by like the sand of the sea. And then the Bible talks about virgin birth. You know, a lot of the new Bibles don't even have that word in there. It said young maiden. Young maiden is not enough. She was a virgin. She was the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14 when it says that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called, as we were singing, Emmanuel. I thought to myself, the songs we sang had so much to say about what I'm having to say. His name was Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. When he was born in that little manger so many years ago, he was God with us. There's a fourth kind of birth in the Bible, and it's found in John chapter 3 when Jesus talked to a man at night and said, you must be born again. Those four births in the Bible tell us a progression that God had throughout history. He also said in Isaiah 7, 9, verse 6 and 7, that he should be called Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He is giving a peace that the world knows not. He's giving a peace that only his people can know. Adam walked with God in peace. Adam gave over that peace to Satan. But yet, in all of that, God left a promise. God left a promise even in the Garden of Eden when he said, Adam, you're going to face things you've never faced before. You're going to see thorns and thistles, and you're going to see the curse of the ground. He said to Eve that she would give birth would be a painful act. And he said to Satan, he said, here's your answer. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. And all those years later, the seed of the woman, the virgin seed. Jesus was not the seed of Joseph. He was the seed of Mary. And the seed joined with Almighty God, and Jesus became God and man. And he came to deliver us from the curse of Satan's power. How do we get that? How do we get that peace? And how do we get? How do we receive that? We receive it when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. People talk about being afraid. Preacher, aren't you afraid to go preach someplace? No, I'm not afraid. Because I'm here until God takes me home anyway. My days are numbered. There's an appointed time for a man to die. And of course, God says after that, the judgment. There's appointed time for us to die. When is our appointed time? I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that. But there is a time when we all will face death if Jesus does not decide to come before we die and rapture out the church. Well, I'm not afraid. Is it very real? Yes. The COVID is very real. The demonic pressures in Washington, D.C. Are very real. Satan is possessing men and women in powerful places. Look at their eyes, and that will tell you the story. We used to see it in the jungles back in the 70s when I was in the jungles in South America. We could tell those that were possessed of devils because of their eyes. Their eyes stared, and their eyes were glassy. And you know, you can tell whether a person is telling the truth or telling a lie by their eyes. The pupils of their eyes change when they're thinking about telling a lie. And that's why judges want to see the eyes oftentimes of the convicted or the what's the word I'm looking for? The indicted, they're not convicted until the judge says so. But anyway, the truth of it is that you can tell about their eyes. You know, God had a way of communicating with men. Take, for instance, Noah. It says, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when the whole world was filled with wickedness, there was a man on the mind of God by the name of Noah. And it says that Noah walked with God. That's what makes the difference. God remembers those that love Him and walk with Him and give themselves to Him. There was a great peace and grace that came over that man Noah as he preached 120 years, tried to convince people that the judgment of God was coming. But when the day came for the ark door to be closed, all of those animals and people that believed God were safe in the ark. And the water began to rise and people began to scream. The real truth was known. But what got Noah in the ark? Faith. Faith that God would keep them in perfect peace. You know, we've been talking about the Prince of Peace, and here the Prince of Peace could give us no less than perfect peace. What about those three men in Daniel's time that the king says, you have to bow down to my image? They said to the king, we will not bow down. We'll not bow down because God will deliver us. Here are some men of faith. God will deliver us. But listen to what the rest of they said. They said, if God doesn't deliver us, we still won't bow down. They were men of faith. They went in the fiery furnace. And who did they meet in the fiery furnace? They met the Prince of Peace. They met the Son of God. The king looked in and he said, there's a fourth person in there, and he looks like the very Son of God. So God began to reveal himself over and over and over. And God began to give us prophetic words about this baby that was going to be born in a manger in a place called Bethlehem. And all of those things had to come together. And so Caesar Augustus said the whole world be taxed. And Joseph had to go back to his home city, Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And God worked out all of those prophetic details. And one day, Mary, a virgin, gave birth to her son, laid him in a manger. And then, out on the hillside, the angels came singing, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I stood one time on those hillsides in Bethlehem, or out, just out of Bethlehem. And what a beautiful thing it was to read this story, being present in the place that, probably near the place, that those shepherds would be keeping watch over their sheep by night. There were little caves in the mountains, and they would take their sheep and put them in those caves and close up the mouth of the cave by night. And all of a sudden, the sky lit up on those little hillsides outside Bethlehem, and it was the angels giving the message of the birth of Jesus. My friends, the Bible says, Jesus says, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because you trust in him. The only peace that comes in the world is the peace that God gives. Because Satan has taken away the peace that the world knows. And so the only peace we know is the peace that God gives. Let's talk about the peace that's in my heart. How about personal peace? Personal peace comes from having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, if I can get my fingers to turn the pages. Here we go. John chapter 16. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is come, that ye shall have scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In me you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Jesus has overcome the world. And because he has overcome the world, he provides peace to us that the world does not know. In John 17, we read the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ as he began to pray for his disciples. And as he prayed for the disciples, he prayed for us. In that chapter, John 17, several times Jesus says that he prays for them and he prays for us. He said, Father, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. In verse 15 he said, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou shalt keep them from evil. In verse 16, it says, they are not of this world, even even as I am not of this world. In verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them that which them also which should believe on me through their word. Not only did Jesus pray for us, he prayed that God would not take us out of the world, but he would keep us from sin, keep us from evil. He not only prayed for us, but he prayed for those that were going to turn to Jesus because of us. What an amazing prayer this prayer is. You see, perfect peace, personal peace, comes because we trust in him and lean on him. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I have given unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is a word that means happy or peaceful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season, and his leaf shall also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a great promise God gave us in Psalm chapter 1. Well, then he says, people, be at peace among one another. Peace among men. Goodwill toward men. It comes through personal self-control. How do you get along with somebody? Personal self-control. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He says in Thessalonians chapter 5, esteem others very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. See, peace with men comes by bringing yourself under control, esteeming others better than yourself. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, in closing, I want to give you a recipe for a peaceful life. Back in the book of James, we get that recipe in James chapter 3. My fingers don't work like they used to. Hebrews, James chapter 3. This is the recipe for living with people peaceably, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easily entreated. full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There is the recipe for happiness and a peaceful life. Looking that God has it all in order. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. What were the angels saying that night? Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. God has a peace that the world does not know. And he said, pass that peace along. Because the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You see, God started out telling the story in the Garden of Eden. He told the story through the Old Testament and the prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel, told all through history that the Son of God was coming in a manger in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. It is that message that's the message of Christmas. That message that the world needs to hear. My Father, I pray that these remarks that I have made today may find fertile ground, and may your Spirit have been speaking to these folks while I've been speaking. May your Spirit be giving some the assurance that they have, that they need in their lives. May some have that fear that Satan is substituted for the peace that you said pass all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May some in this room be determined that they are going to let you have the victory in their life. Lord, if there's someone in this room that has not received you as Savior, help them to realize that at the end of this service, they can talk to somebody that can show them how to be saved. Lord, and by believing, they are now trusting you as Savior and getting that assurance by coming and talking to somebody. Lord, now we're going to close this part of the service, and we're going to look at what you did for us so many years ago on the cross. Lord, we pray that each person in this room might examine themselves and partake of the elements of the bread and the wine that represent your body and your blood. So, Lord, we pray that as we open this part of the service, people will examine themselves and confess any sin and be ready to receive these elements. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.